That outro caught us off guard. we apologize for that. Not sure exactly what happened there. Hopefully it won't happen again. Kind of caught me in mid-sentence, which is not, I mean, it's not the end of the world, obviously. I felt like I want to tell people that hour two's up next. So just a couple seconds would be nice right there. Hey, if you're a CDL driver looking for a proven company to work for, Hycon Transportation is looking for you. Hycon's a family-owned company. It's doubled in size in the past 2 years. They need quality drivers right now. They're round-trip dedicated, local overnight stays, 40 cents per mile, earn monthly bonuses and more. Best package benefits that you can find anywhere. They've got a 100% track record with highly reputable and recognizable companies. Hycon Transportation is a safe bet for your career. Email your qualifications to recruiting@hycontransport.com. That's recruiting@hycontransport.com or call them 864-540-8194. Brandon Anderson makes a good point, okay? He says, how is FSU not in the untouchables with not having a losing record since before Bobby Bowden? Is there another team that can claim that? Both OSU and Bam have had losing seasons and missed bowls in the past 30 years. I understand all that, okay? I get that. What I'm saying is, and this is where you define the criteria differently, my argument against Florida State in that is that there has been a reason in the past 5 years where Florida State is back to being elite that people thought they weren't going to be elite that year. That since Urban Meyer got to Ohio State, which is the status quo, that has not happened at Ohio State. They were 6-6 before Urban Meyer got there. They immediately went to elite, and they haven't stopped being elite. Even when we know their quarterback can't throw and they don't have receivers, we still assume they're going to be elite. Alabama with Nick Saban, they are elite every year. We assume they're going to be elite. Preseason top five, we get it every year. In two of the past 4 years, Florida State has been 10th and 11th. That, to me, says that their status quo is treated like Clemson's status quo. I'm prioritizing more what you've done in like how we feel about you right now this season, as opposed to, you don't ignore history, but I'm not looking way back 30 years down the road as much as I'm looking in recent history, your status quo, where your program is right now. How do we feel about you?
I think with FSU, you have to, because it's so impressive. You have to take it into account.
Well, except for that dozen years where they were pretty average. They were basically Notre Dame for 12 years.
Don't get me started on Notre Dame. To not have a losing record, like the texter said, in nearly 40 years. That's part of it. And I think, Kwok, I'm going to be frank here. All right. Well, I'm Kelly. I'm going to be frank.
All right.
Only a Clemson person would say that. That Clemson and Florida State are absolutely equal.
They're the same. They've won the same number of championships. They're treated the same. If you look at their rankings and what they... Well, I'm saying in the last, like in the status quo, Jimbo Fisher versus Dabo Swinney, Clemson versus Florida State right now, in the paradigm we exist in right now, Clemson and Florida State are exactly the same.
I just don't think you can ignore the 80s and the 90s.
You don't, but you also don't ignore the... I'm not ignoring the 2000s, where they didn't do anything.
Well, neither did Clemson.
That's true. So that's why Clemson's not in my untouchables. If this were 1997, Florida State is definitely in the untouchables because they were number one or number two or number three every single year. Alabama and Ohio State are number one, number two, number three every single year. Florida State is not number one, number two, number three every single year right now. That was my cutoff.
I see your point, but I stand by mine.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. It's a difference of... It's a difference of criteria.
And trust me, it's not something I want to do. You know I dislike Florida State more than most people.
Correct. I'm interested. I want to know how the audience feels about this. Because I feel like it's going to be fairly evenly divided in both of our camps. 654 Roars, the number you want to get in. We'll ask Will Vandervoort about this too. Let's see. Bulldog Burt is up with us next before we get to crunch the numbers. Hey, Burt, what's going on?
I'm rejoicing. Over Amir White coming to Georgia. That is, I think it's probably going to be Kirby Smart's best recruit, maybe of his career, because he really worked going up there to see him. And I'm telling you, all those hats, you got the North Carolina hat, the Alabama hat, the Clemson hat, and the Ohio State hat there on the table. He could have picked any of those universities, but he went with UGA, and I'm loving it.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with you. From my perspective, I just think it's sort of much ado about nothing because it's not like Georgia hasn't been recruiting top running backs. I mean, this guy's really good. He's really, really good. He's the best recruit that Kirby Smart's had. You're right about that, particularly this position. But is he going to be better than Todd Gurley? Functionally on the football field, is he going to be better than Gurley?
Well, I know his high school coach has said that he was the first one in the weight room and the last one out, and he has an humble spirit about him, and I think that goes a long ways. Character means a lot, especially when you're transferring it onto the field, you know, and work ethic. And he has all the characteristics of a Todd Gurley, yes.
I agree with you. I think the guy could be as good as Gurley. I don't know. Yeah. You feel like Georgia's going to achieve with him in the backfield?
I do. I think that we're going to have to go for the running back. I don't see where we can escape that. You know, every coach has tried to get away from that, try to make it, you know, about the quarterback situation. But you look how we won a national championship, and you go back to those fundamentals. And that's where we're going to have to go back to get to even to the SEC tournament.
Good point, Bulldog Bert. Look, maybe that's it. And it's not like the uphill battle is super difficult. You know, Florida's not what it used to be. I feel like Georgia can at least get back to the SEC championship, certainly. You keep putting pieces like Zamir White on the field, you're definitely going to get there.
Well, it says something about Kirby Smart's recruiting skills, which now I will say this about Zamir White. If you watch him in all the videos in high school, what number is he wearing?
That's
the salesman right there.
That's true. That's a good point, Burp. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. You know, interesting stuff. I mean, maybe he is going to be Herschel Walker. Maybe he is. I feel like they've recruited 10 Herschel Walkers in the last handful of years, and they still, I mean, they're winning 8-9 ball games. You know who's not in my elite level programs is Georgia.
Nope.
Because, you know, with Mark Richt, I would put Georgia in the second tier. With Mark Richt, I would put him in the second tier. All it takes is one coaching change, you can knock yourself down a tier, and they did with Kirby Smart.
They're in my third tier. That's where Georgia is.
Very good. I'm glad we were on the same page.
And mainly
that.
Because it's 2017.
I almost did that with another one. I almost did that with another program. Do you think, gosh, they should be in the elite? Certainly, I almost dropped them down to the third tier.
I did it with three programs that might, with two programs that might surprise you. I want to see where you have these two programs that are in my respected and not my elite.
Very interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now to get out your abacus and your calculator and crunch some numbers.
We're ready to crunch the numbers on Out of Bounds.
Math is a wonderful thing. Math is a really cool thing. So get off your act, let's do some math. Math, 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 math.
And now, your mathematical magician, bad statistician, and all-round horrible guesser, William Quackenbush. On 105.5, The Roar.
Here are the numbers are crunching today. 4.8, 10, 21, 699, and 100,000. Get ready, America. The first number is 4.8. That's the average margin defeat, rather, for the Washington Wizards against Cleveland and Golden State last season. Now, against those two teams, I think I'm right by saying this, they were 2-3 overall. They beat Golden State by 4, and they beat Cleveland one time, and then they almost beat Cleveland the other time when LeBron banked in the corner 3 at the buzzer fading away, and they beat Washington overtime like 140 to 135 or whatever it was. That's how close they were to being at that level. Now, they did lose to Boston in the playoffs, but the series went 7, and Boston had the home court advantage. John Wall says they're a player away, and he's trying to get Paul George to work behind the scenes to try to get a trade to Washington. Now, the sad news is for Washington, they don't have assets that the Pacers are going to generally want. And so that's going to be tough to do without a third team. But again, these three-team deals for these major players, the reason you don't see them happening is that teams don't want to enable other teams to win championships that they're also competing for.
Are the Wizards one player away from contending for championships or just contending for the East?
Well, to me, that they're one and the same, because if you contend for the East, then you at least are better than Cleveland, who presumably is on the Warriors level. Sort of, if you can win the conference, if you can win the conference, you at least give yourself a chance.
Well, here's the question too. What big three would you take? Kyrie, LeBron, Kevin Love, John Wall, Bradley Beal, Paul George? Because I think John Wall and Kyrie kind of balance themselves out. you take Paul George over Kevin Love and you take LeBron, obviously, over Bradley Beal or however, you want to shape it out. But I don't know. On paper, it looks relatively even, I guess, if you think about it.
Yeah, it does. If you put Paul George with John Wall and Bradley Beal and then put Gortat in there and somebody else, that's a pretty good team.
Gortat versus Tristan.
I mean, it's a pretty good team, right?
It's a pretty good team.
I don't think he's wrong about this. I think he needs to pursue this. And I would root for the Wizards.
You know what this is hurting, too? It's hurting Boston because Boston didn't do anything, and now I think they're going to pay for it if the Wizards find a way.
Totally agree. These teams dragging their feet or the Lakers saying, we'll just wait till 2018 like the Lakers know what the market is. Like, they've been so shrewd in the market. You know who can wait till 2018? The Patriots, because they know what they're doing. You know who can't? The Lakers, because they don't know what they're doing. Next number's 10. That's the number of consecutive victories for the Los Angeles Dodgers until last night when they were shut out by the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. How the Angels got to be the team that shut them out with Ricky flipping Nolasco on the mound against Rich Hill, Blister Boy, is beyond me. But they get the 4-0 victory. The Dodgers have played tremendously well over the last 2 weeks, as have the Rockies, as have the Diamondbacks. And again, we say, I know it's 3,000 miles away and it's all the way across the country, but that is a race in the National League West that we will be following all throughout the summer. The Dodgers right now a game and a half ahead of the Diamondbacks and 4.5 ahead of the Rockies, who have now lost 6 in a row after falling in San Francisco last night to the Giants. The Rockies seem to be the team that's most hanging by thread here because they've relied a lot on rookie starting pitching. They will hit a wall at some point. And they also play half their games at Coors Field. The Diamondbacks also appear to be a team with massive home road splits. Even though their road record is 20-18, their home record is 29-10. So when they go on the road, they may have a bit of regression because their team just play well at home. The Dodgers 19-16 on the road, yes, but they have pieces that have demonstrated that they can compete at a high level for 162 games as long as they make a move or two at the deadline to go get a starting pitcher. Now, they also have what I would consider to be sort of under the radar, the Aaron Judge of the National League and Cody Bellinger. Now, it's only under the radar because Judge has really stolen headlines as this mammoth human being, just this massive specimen of a man who's jacking bombs out of the ball yard and hitting the ball as hard as it possibly can be hit 500 feet with my quill and ink.
Gonna head over parchment. To the ball yard today.
My parchment, yeah, going down to the ball yard.
Check out Aaron Judge.
The Dodgers 51-27. They're now five and a half games. What is that? Five games. I'm sorry, ahead of the Nationals in the National League. So that means the three best teams in the National League all reside in that one division, and they're only a game and a half behind the Astros for the best team in baseball. And Bellinger is a big reason why, because he stabilized that offense. Since Adrian Gonzalez is a doo-doo sandwich now.
Get Bellinger and Judge in the home run derby, please.
He's now my
favorite. For the sake of baseball.
Yes. Unbelievable. He's my favorite young player to watch. I love watching Bellinger swing.
This has been a blessing for the MLB because I don't think they really, I mean, you never really know which rookies are going to come out of nowhere and become stars, but to have two, and especially in your two biggest markets in LA and New York on both coasts, that's good for Major League Baseball.
It really is good. The next number is 21. That's the number a month in Lionel Messi's suspended prison sentence from last year. He paid a fine instead of serving time, but now, according to Spanish news agency ABC, there's more. Tax evasion, didn't know that was happening, sorry.
I tried to get it in there. I thought you might pause.
Tax evasion apparently is a big thing in professional soccer.
Yeah.
With Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, you have Neymar's in some type of trouble. Jose Mourinho, is that the guy's name? Boy, I am pulling out all my soccer knowledge right now.
Pele?
The Man U manager? Yeah, yeah. Are you talking history now?
Mia Hamm?
You say Pele, I'm gonna treat that like the Florida State conversation we just had. Yeah, Pele was relevant 30 years ago, but now, you know, in recent time, Neymar's the new Pele.
USA. And USA.
he's tax evasion guy. So apparently evading the government on your taxes is the thing to do if you're a big-time soccer player. And even with this 21-month suspended prison sentence for Messi, there's more coming out now that supposedly he's funneling money into his charity to just keep there that's not going to its purposes. Now, there have been some well-placed stories that have talked about some of the charitable efforts, schools in Syria, all this type of stuff, funneling personal income into the charity And now people are starting to openly question whether or not the charity exists to do what they say that it's supposed to do. Boy, oh boy. Could you even imagine such a thing?
That's cringeworthy.
Yeah,
right
it
there.
Is. Yes, it is. I love this story. Because
that's sad.
For
why
some,
do you love this
well,
story?
Well, for some reason, like, among the trends in the world, evading your taxes as a soccer star apparently is a new trend. Over the last 24 months, we've seen this.
Can you imagine the taxes that Messi and Ronaldo have to pay?
No.
I think there's a reason they're evading these taxes,
Mercy.
If you get my drift.
Yes, I would agree with that. Although you're making bajillions, so just pay the government. Give that man his money. The next number is 699. That's the number of pro male tennis players. John McEnroe says it better than Serena Williams. This is the biggest non-story. I just wanted to point out that this is a total non-story. That we all know that Serena Williams can't. There's no reason to point it out. Everyone knows this is the case. Serena Williams not going to beat all but five people on the ATP men's tennis. You're not going to do that. Serena Williams told John McEnroe, basically, keep my name out your mouth. McEnroe's not apologizing. This has been a story now for 2 days. I didn't want to talk about it yesterday. I don't particularly want to talk about it today, except for if you don't talk about it, people are thinking that you ignore it or you're uncomfortable by it or whatever, so I'll just say it. John McEnroe's right. His comment was unnecessary. Serena's backlash is understandable and also necessary. You got to defend your honor right there.
I don't care what McEnroe says, but the reason that we should care is that he's trying to take down Serena in some way. It's meant as in some way, maybe even a minuscule insult to Serena, and I don't understand why we're doing that.
See, it really, and we could go back and look at the context, it really was like a backhanded compliment to Serena and to the men's game.
Yeah, but when anyone, I mean, your casual sports fan sees that quote, you're going to take it as such, as kind of making fun of Serena in some way, which I don't think he was really trying to do, because we all know Serena is the GOAT. I mean, she is the greatest women's tennis player of all time. And I just like how she tweeted Kwok. She said, "Dear John, I adore and respect you, but please, please keep me out of your statements that are not factually based. I've never played anyone ranked there, nor do I have time. Respect me and my privacy as I'm trying to have a baby. Good day, sir." I love that.
Well played, Serena. Well played. And finally, $100,000. That's the amount of damage in dollars done to Missouri's basketball arena by a former employee, we assume, a 23-year-old. I'm just going to read this from, this is according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, but of course Deadspin does it better. I'm reading this. This is courtesy of Nick Martin on Deadspin. A 23-year-old, presumably former University of Missouri employee, drove his Volkswagen Passat. That's the first funny part right there. His Volkswagen Passat through a gate outside Mizzou Arena early Sunday morning. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the driver then somehow managed to steer said car onto the basketball court inside the arena, causing roughly $100,000 in damages. According to the dispatch, police officers determined that the damage was caused around 4 a.m. Sunday morning. They were called out to investigate 3 hours later. The current suspect, Nathaniel Conant, reportedly drove his vehicle through a gate on the arena's south side before driving his car into the arena via its loading dock. From there, and there are pictures with this, and he has just destroyed it. I mean, this is like a turnstile gate. This is a gate where, like, somebody has to let you in. He just rammed through it like he's involved in a high-speed chase or whatever, like on any cop show where they're trying to head a guy off at the pass. From there, according to police, he damaged several golf carts present in the loading dock area, managed to both find the basketball court and drive his car on it, and made his grand exit via the loading dock. When he realized he couldn't drive out the same gate he'd driven in, Conan leveled the media gate and made for the street. So he didn't drive out the same way he came in. So instead he wrecked two gates. Over $100,000 in damages. There are pictures of the golf carts that were destroyed and the gates and the arena. That's awesome.
This is the most Mizzou thing I've ever heard. And it just further shows that Missouri Athletics is currently a dumpster fire.
That's right. Now they belong in the SEC. Love it. Short break. We'll come back. Will Vannevort will join us next.
Jacob Thompson, a U.S. Marine who just returned from combat to a civilian world.
The brotherhood was gone. Nobody cared whether or not I went to work or not. Nobody was worried about it. It was basically all on me.
Upstate Warrior Solution provides a bridge to civilian life for warriors and their families. Help us to help them. Donate or volunteer at upstatewarriorsolution.org.
Have you been in search for that perfect job opportunity? Well, look no further, because Carolina Heating Service is currently looking for individuals to expand their team. Locally owned and operated for over 35 years, we specialize in generators, electrical services, residential light, commercial HVAC sales, service and installation, as well as geothermal systems. Top professional opportunities available anywhere from electricians, installers, service technicians, management, and customer service reps. Worried about benefits? Carolina Heating Service has you covered. Enjoy paid holidays and vacation days, a 401k, training programs, major insurance, and full-time year-round stable work, as well as overtime opportunity. Basic qualifications include a drug test, background check, and physical, as well as a valid driver's license. Other qualifications are subject to position applying for. The search could be over for you soon. Make that career leap. Apply now at CarolinaHeating.com and join our award-winning team.
I'm George Jeffries, local GM of Metal Building Supply. As part of Mesco Building Solutions and NCI, we're the Southeast premier supplier of metal building components and pre-engineered building systems. We have an 18,000 square foot facility, and we bring in inventory and special orders every Friday. Call 295-0506 or come by 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont. Whether it's a 30 by 40 for your shop or 100,000 square feet for your business, we have over 40 years of experience to put to work for you.
You'll find fireworks on nearly any corner this time of year. But if you want the better color explosions and better selection, Carolina Fireworks is your best bet. Just ask Danny Ford. Family owned and operated for nearly 60 years, Carolina Fireworks is local. They don't appear in some random parking lot twice a year. Shop in air-conditioned comfort with great staff and service. For the best for 4th of July, find Carolina Fireworks locations at carolinafireworks.org. Main warehouse on Old Cedar Rock Road in Easley.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like Two for Tuesday. Buy one roll and get the second half price. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
If it needs doing, Coyote Tractors and Steck Equipment in Anderson will get it done. Through June 30th, eligible units purchased will receive a 6-year extended powertrain warranty coverage. See Steck Equipment in Anderson for our Coyote Tractors and UTVs. They're both industry leaders for your outdoor maintenance projects, for commercial applications, and homeowners. Run ahead of the pack. Coyote Tractors and UTVs from Steck Equipment. 405 McGee Road, Anderson. 225-5666. See dealer for details.
What do you do when you found the right girl? You put a ring on her hand. If you're ready, you're going to need some help. I'm William Nichols from Scores Jewelers, and I know you've got more choices than ever before when it comes to diamonds. I simply ask that you come by and see what we have to offer. As a local jeweler, we will go the extra mile to make sure you get the best diamond for your money. We have the knowledge, service, and selection to help with any budget. And most importantly, we stand behind our rings and diamonds so you can be confident your investment is safe. I'm William Nichols of Scores Jewelers in Anderson, and I want to be your jeweler.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
If this is some sort of hazing ritual, we're going to end up naked in a river somewhere. I'll need to arrange for a ride home.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they'd just fall off. But I still wake up, I still see a ghost. Oh Lord, I'm still not sure what I stand for. Oh, what do I stand for? What do I stand for? Most nights I don't know anymore.
That was the most outrageous jam session we've ever had in here, and it underscores once again the need for a live cam, just for people to see. There will be a lot of embarrassing stuff, but just the need for a live camera. Normally, you know this. I'm a fan of outrageous harmony. You know that, like I like acapella music. I watch acapella concerts. I went to a Tiger Roar tryout one time and had to leave because I could, like, there were some other qualifications that I wasn't. That I didn't know about, so I never actually got the tryout.
You didn't have an orange blazer?
I would have gotten one. It was a class requirement that I couldn't fit into my schedule.
That was the reason you didn't make it?
I don't know. I don't know if I would have made it. I don't think I would have made it because one of my buddies like left and came back and they had one spot open and he was in to try. So like none of us were going to make it. He was going to make it. He's better singing than us. But I never got to try out for them. So I love harmony. Normally I hit that bass line on that chorus, that
acapella
chorus.
I hit the high line.
You hit the high. I just had to let you go. Like I didn't want to slow your roll on that.
What's scary is that I haven't even had my prime drive yet. That's what's scary about this whole situation.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's a Tuesday. I'm pumped.
Texter from the 864. Bellinger swings a mix between Adam LaRoche and Ken Griffey Jr. Boy, I you know what? I like that. I really like that comparison. It's a little bit longer than Griffey, but boy, oh boy. Griffey Jr.'s swing is still the best I've ever seen. He's still my favorite player because he's got the best swing I've ever seen. Boy, that is just sweet, sweet music. There are children that fall asleep to lullabies that aren't as sweet as Ken Griffey Jr.'s swing. Mm. This hour of the program is brought to you by Harrys.com. The sweetest shave on the market. It's the best shave.
I shaved my legs last night with Harry's.
And?
So smooth.
Oh, it's so good, isn't it?
So smooth.
Oh, man, it's good.
I'm a big fan.
Boy, I'm telling, all you need is one use, right? People think, oh, it's just a good razor.
Yeah,
you know?
I thought you meant.
It's just a good razor. It's a nice razor. It's one of many acceptable razors. All you need to do is use it one time. Yeah. No, that's what I'm asking you. Don't read too much into what I'm saying, okay? Harry's going to give you the starter set. You get the handle, the blades, you get the gel. Oh man, you get the aftershave. You get all that in the starter set over $20 for free. They're going to give it to you for free. All you got to do is cover shipping, but you got to go to harrys.com and put that promo code OOB5 when you check out. Once again, the handle that contours to your hand, the 5 German engineer blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade. You get the lathering shave gel, you get the travel cover, you get the post shave balm, all that $20 value for free at harrys.com. Just cover the shipping when you use the promo code OOB5. Don't wait, get started with Harry's today. A man who needs no introduction, but we'll give him one anyway. He writes for the Clemson Insider. He is on Twitter at SteelerWill. And I'm sure he has an opinion about Florida State. I'm guessing that he's closer to mine than Kelly's. But I don't know. Shocker! Shock of all shocks, I would say that. His name is Will Vandervoort, and he joins us now. Hello, Willie V.
Hey, Quack, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm doing awesome. We had this debate about Florida State. Is Florida State in the class with Alabama and Ohio State? If, assuming that Clemson's not, and we'll talk about that, assuming that Clemson's not and Alabama and Ohio State are in their own class, would you put Florida State in the Clemson class or with that untouchable class? What do you think?
So you're talking all time?
I'm talking right now in college football. History is a part of it. It's a part of it. It's just a matter of how big a part of it you want it to be. You can have your own system.
You're going like the current elite teams and then also what they've done in the past.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with Kelly. I think Florida State would be considered because if you're going to go by what they did, I mean, from 1980, what was it, 87 to 2000, or whatever year it was, they went, 14 straight years ranked inside the top 5? No program's ever done that ever.
That's true.
Ever. You know, and, you know, when you look at, you know, the fact that they've been to a bowl game every year since 1981, which is not an easy feat, especially in those 1980s. That was not easy to do. It's easier now to do it for teams to make bowl games now because there's so many. But back in the 80s, that wasn't the case. In the 80s and early 90s, that wasn't the case. You know, it's a little bit harder than to make bowl games every year. And then, you know, and then to put in the fact then that they have won 3 national championships during the same span, you know, I think put them up there. I actually would put them ahead of Ohio State, to be honest with you, because they've been more dominant than Ohio State. They've won more championships and they've won more bowl games and they've been ranked in the top 5 a lot more. They've had more 10-win seasons. You know, I would say it's Alabama only because of what they've done the last decade. If you put Alabama, what Florida State's done the last 30 years compared to what Alabama's done the last 30 years, Florida State's actually got a better resume than Alabama. So, I mean, you know, it's all relevant, you know, and subjective. But, I definitely say they're they're one of the top three programs of all time, based on the elite teams right now, plus their history.
Willie V, our friendship just took a next step.
Oh, and give me a break on this.
I am just so pleased with your answer there. Thank you for having my back. That is what friends do. And just love that from you, Willard. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a question going off of that. We're going to talk about our elite teams and also our respected teams, kind of the top three categories. Can you give me a few teams that people see as elite, but that you might not have in that second tier? Maybe some teams that have fallen off recently, just some that you maybe have lost some respect for, or they've lost some of their luster in recent years.
Well, you know, I think, when you look at all time, I think teams that you obviously Oklahoma's on that list. I would put Michigan on that list. And even though they haven't won a national championship now going on 29 years, Notre Dame is on that list because Notre Dame, when I was a kid growing up, Notre Dame was it. They were the it team in college football, and everything revolved around Notre Dame. Now it's not the case anymore, but if Notre Dame can figure out how to get back to the level they were at back in the glory days, then Notre Dame would be right back up there with Alabama. Keep in mind, Alabama, from the time, you know, Dabo Sweeney's group won the national title in 1992 until Nick Saban came around, they were not the premier program. They won, I think, maybe one SEC title during that time before Nick Saban got there. And so, you know, Notre Dame is sort of in that same little slump that Alabama was in for a while. And then once Alabama got out of it and they got the right coach and they got back on track, now, you know, Alabama's Alabama. And I think Notre Dame would be the same way if they ever came back. And so it's the one program I think everybody forgets about because they, you know, they are college football. When you look at the history of college football, Notre Dame is there at the top and everything they've done. But people right now forget about them because, like you mentioned, you know, they're just younger guys don't know them or things of that nature. Because they haven't won since they've been alive. But all it takes is just one or two good seasons and show some consistency, and then they'll be right back in the fray with everybody else.
Visiting Will Vandevort, theclemsoninsider.com. Follow him at SteelerWill on Twitter. The reason for this conversation, really, is, well first of all, it's June 27th. Yeah, it's June 27th. Ain't nothing going on, okay? The Dodgers won a zillion games in a row, and they lost last night, and the world still turns. I mean, there's nothing really to talk about. But also, there's this idea, and I'm going to get to it. We'll talk about it more when we get closer to the ESPYs. But Clemson over Alabama was considered one of the three best upsets in sports this year. And I just think that is so outrageous. This is the most leading question I've ever asked. To what level of outrageous is this to you? Unacceptable, or somebody should be fired, or these people are asleep at the wheel? How outraged are you about this?
Not at all, because, well, think about it this way. Let's take off the orange-colored glasses for a second and think about it, okay? Nobody gave Clemson a chance to win that game. Alabama was considered to have the greatest defense that ever walked the face of earth in college football going into that game, and that there was no way Clemson was going to do anything against that defense, and they probably were going to score three touchdowns on Clemson, the defense was. And that's all we heard leading up to it by the national media. Think about it, who was all saying this. Most of the national media wasn't really giving Clemson much of a chance. And then you add on the fact Alabama won 26 straight games going into that, just kind of led to that mystique of why it was such a big upset. Is it a slap in the face to Clemson? No, I think it was more of a compliment to Alabama and that the way Alabama is perceived. Think about the conversation you and Kelly are having right now. You're calling Alabama one of the three all-time greats all time. And a big reason for that is because what they've done the last 10 years under Nick Saban. So think about how the national media perceives it. If you and Kelly are perceiving them that way, think about how the national media perceives them when they were playing Clemson. And I think that's what it really kind of boiled down to. It wasn't a slap in the face to Clemson at all. And I can understand why they rank it that way, because a lot of people around the country considered it to be a huge upset. There's a reason why all of America was pulling for Clemson. It's not because they're all Clemson fans. It's because nobody wants to see Alabama win again. And I think that's why it's considered such a great upset.
Shifting gears to the hardwood for a second, Jerome Blossom goes 59 to the Spurs. I'm not sure he could have landed in a better spot, although they do like for people to
well, the
like.
The better question is, what did Kelly do when he landed with the Spurs?
She continued to sleep.
No, I was still awake, which is the most surprising thing. I was awake, and I tweeted out a very excited GIF.
I was on vacation last week, so I didn't get to see any of y'all's responses. I stayed away from Twitter for a whole week, so and it was quite refreshing. I thought about Kelly, though, when I saw it. I said, boy, Kelly's probably the happiest person in the country right now.
Now, do you see him being able to carve out a niche there? I mean, they like their 6'6", 6'7", 215-pound guys to shoot threes. I think one of the guys, Jonathan Simmons, or whatever John Doe average name guy they just plucked out of an office somewhere and threw on the floor last year, he shot like 29%. Can Jaron, knowing that, can he carve out a niche for himself there?
I think so. I think Jaron can carve out a niche for himself in the NBA. I really do. And, I think you asked me last week that I think he's going to get drafted, and I thought, it was going to be tough, but he slid in there and got drafted. And, and I think that's a team C that he is he's a very athletic guy. He's a guy that can proven in the past, he can shoot the outside shot. What he did his junior year at Clemson is testament to that. But he can also get inside for you. He can grab those rebounds. He's a good wing guy. And I think he can do that and make a good living in the NBA playing that role. And then going to a team, you couldn't ask for a better fit, in my opinion, because this is a guy who is going to come in. He's got a great work ethic. He's going to work hard for you. And he's going to the Spurs, who are the same way. And they kind of, everything Jaron does is what the Spurs preach. And so because of that, I think he's got a good chance to be a very good role player and have a very good NBA career.
All right, final question for you. It's the same question we asked Manny Robinson. The Tyrone Crowder, Christian Wilkins selections, your reaction to that is what for the ACC football kickoff?
Far as Clemson goes?
Yes.
Well, Christian Wilkins is going to be Christian Wilkins. It depends on whether he wants to talk to the media or not that day. Generally most of the time he does. And so, that'll be, we'll get plenty of stuff from him more than likely. And then with Tyrone, though, he's a great kid, a great young man. Not much of a speaker, though. At least hasn't been in the past. So it'll be interesting to see how he's developed and far as that goes. And I'm sure Tim Burrell will have him ready to go, as they always do over there. And we'll school them up a little bit and get them ready for that role they're going to be in. I understand why they did it in a way because, this guy's a two-time All-ACC right guard. I mean, he's one of the more decorated players they got coming back on the team just because he's an offensive lineman. People don't talk about him as much. But he's a very good football player, and he'll represent Clemson well. And, and by the way, before I go, Clark, you're talking about Clemson, and just want to make sure you guys, when you go to the next level teams you're going to announce, do you know since 1985, and that's counting, and I don't count the brawl year because they were still going to go to a bowl game. But since 1985, Clemson has only three Clemson teams have not qualified for a bowl game. That's impressive to me. And if you go further back than that, you can go to 1977, where only the teams that were on probation but would have went to bowl games, all three of those teams would have gone to bowl games. So those three teams plus the three teams I just mentioned previous and the 1980 team were the only teams that didn't go to bowl games for Clemson since 1977. You're talking about consistency and winning at a consistent level. Even in the doldrum years of the 90s, Clemson still produced some pretty good football teams, just not great football teams. And, make sure you guys mention that. Clemson is a program since 1977 that's been at the top of college football in the top 15, top 20 consistently every year, not just these last 5 years like a lot of people think. It's a program going all the way back to 1977 that's done very well for itself and deserves to be mentioned as such.
Good stuff. Now, Clemson will be in the next tier, and no question about it. Willie V, we appreciate it. We appreciate the time, as always. Look forward to visiting with you again next week.
All right, Quark. We'll talk to you later, man. See you later.
All right, sounds good. Will Vandevoort from the ClemsonInsider.com. Short break. We'll go back to the phones and into that second tier of program when we return from Out of Bounds next.
Amanda Nix, a returning veteran who needed help.
You get places a lot quicker when you ask for a little bit of help. And these guys that we're helping are also veterans, so they understand. They get it. They're not going to look down on you for asking for a little bit of help.
Upstate Warrior Solution provides a bridge to civilian life for warriors and their families. Help us to help them. Donate or volunteer at upstatewarriorsolution.org.
With summer here, shouldn't you look as hot as a burger on the grill? If you want to look and feel as hot as noon on a summer day in the South, call Urban Nirvana. With the best stylists around, you'll get the kind of pampering you deserve, and the day spa will have you feeling as cool as a cucumber. And being able to buy a gift certificate online is better than a splash in the pool. Log on to UrbanNirvana.com, buy your gift certificate, and print it right from your own computer. Urban Nirvana, Magpie Station in downtown Greenville.
Everybody knows the story. You can't sleep on a bed that's too hard. You can't sleep on a bed that's too soft. But you can sleep on a bed that's just right. Engineered sleep might not have been around when Goldilocks was written, but they know that a bed that's just right is made just for you. It's not just a fairy tale. They actually build a mattress based on your sleep habits and patterns so that you can get that Goldilocks kind of sleep. And if after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process and learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there's no middleman. Factory to you. And you can score a significant discount by picking your mattress up instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
Have you been in search for that perfect job opportunity? Well, look no further, because Carolina Heating Service is currently looking for individuals to expand their team. Locally owned and operated for over 35 years, we specialize in generators, electrical services, residential light, commercial HVAC sales, service and installation, as well as geothermal systems. Top professional opportunities available anywhere from electricians, installers, service technicians, management, and customer service reps. Worried about benefits? Carolina Heating Service has you covered. Enjoy paid holidays and vacation days, a 401k, training programs, major insurance, and full-time year-round stable work, as well as overtime opportunity. Basic qualifications include a drug test, background check, and physical, as well as a valid driver's license. Other qualifications are subject to position applying for. The search could be over for you soon. Make that career leap. Apply now at CarolinaHeating.com and join our award-winning team.
Athletes and active people wear out their joints as they age. For medically appropriate patients, the Surgery Center at Pelham offers a low-cost option for joint replacement to avoid a hospital stay and offers the capability to go home the same day.
I'm Dr. Frank Armacita. If your joints are worn out after years of golf, tennis, cycling, or weekend warrior activities, I believe our staff at the Surgery Center at Pelham can make a difference in your life.
Visit the Surgery Center at Pelham, online at newkneereplacement.com.
King Pallet Company in Liberty is hiring first shift laborers at $82.50 a day. Great pay at $82.50 per day. King Pallet Company, 843-2448. That's 843-2448.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
Go right ahead. How can you be so nonchalant about this?
That's how we roll.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
The mountain is high, the valley is cold, and you're
with us. Hour two continues. Out of Bounds, William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. Good stuff from Manny. Good stuff from Will Vandevort today. If you want to hear the interviews or any of our other conversation about the elite programs in the country, who's in what tier, you can check that out at WCCPFM.com. Hour by hour podcast from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Whenever we're local, it goes on the website. You also can go to iTunes, download our podcast here, search WCCP. You can subscribe and just get us in right to you. That'd be great.
I will say, I'm not sure how many people were going to look at the podcast yesterday. We did have a little technical difficulty with the OOB podcast.
Oh, no.
But got that fixed.
Yes.
So go there now, good. And you can find Walt, OOB and Mickey, all the podcasts up there, and all sorts of good stuff.
Here's what I'm going to propose, okay? This is something that generally people talk about off the air, but I want to talk about it on the air with you, okay? Here's what I'm going to propose before we go to the phones. We have three categories of teams. I feel it would be real fun to throw out who's in our elite category and then save the third for tomorrow.
Ooh.
And then do quarterback you, wide receiver you, running back you in the third hour.
Totally on board. I like the suspense. I like the cliffhanger. I like the someone got shot at the end of season two. What happens? Episode one, season three. Love that.
Thought about that during the break. If we did promo QBU, wide receiver you, running back you, and so we want to make sure we have plenty of time to figure that one out.
And you can kind of, in a way, understand who's going to be in that respected category when you don't find them in the elite category.
Maybe. Or maybe we snub your favorite team and you want to rip us tomorrow. Could be.
Wouldn't be the first
time. I'm already getting ripped for Florida State. And here's where, and I love this because I knew it. We didn't talk about it. I knew it. I knew we were going to do this. I knew it was going to be different. You're taking a more, this is kind of opposite of what people might think. You're taking a more nostalgic look at it, where you're putting a little more weight in the past. I'm putting a lot of weight in the stat. Like, when I look at the status quo, where's your program? There are some programs that don't have, you know, they don't have enough to get them to a certain point, but maybe the nostalgia brings them up to that point.
Yeah.
There are a couple in there that I have to say are in there because of nostalgia, not because of what they're doing right now.
Contrary to most millennials, I am looking back at the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and you are taking that millennial approach where history began in 2007 and all that matters is last 10 years.
Now, that's not exactly right, but you know, I am putting more of a premium on, you know what, if you did great, for instance, does anybody, and I say this, and I know somebody cares, and don't at me and don't call me, don't text me on this, does anybody really care that America was great like in 1989 when I was born?
Does that matter?
Yeah, I mean, like when George H.W. Bush was president, or like the economy was booming in the 90s with Bill Clinton, and then you know what, we've had economic booms and downturns or whatever. Does anybody, I mean, Ronald Reagan was a great, that was my favorite president. So Reagan, like, does anybody care? Really?
Yes.
People do. But isn't it more relevant if America's great right now today, in the day that we're walking? That when someone says, is America elite, does the first thing you go, well, they were elite back in the whatever. People would say, no, what are they today?
Well,
what is America today?
I would push back and say, I think people cared in 89 when the Berlin Wall fell.
Yeah.
So things happen in the 80s or 89 or whatever that matter, and you can't forget about them. You can't just sweep them under the rug.
You know who wasn't elite in 89? The USSR. The Soviet Union wasn't elite. You know when they were elite? You know what didn't matter in 1990? You know what didn't matter? That the Soviet Union was elite in 1950, whatever.
But think of the tradition. I kind of see some similarities. This is going to be a blasphemous statement. The USSR in the 80s and Notre Dame football
yeah,
now.
Come on, no. You can't say that. You cannot. I can't believe you said that.
Does anyone with me?
That's my point. It does matter.
Okay, I get your point.
It does matter what happened 30 years ago, but the most important thing when I'm talking about who's an elite program is what is happening. When I look at your program right now, or when I'm looking at an untouchable program, the most important thing is what I'm looking at right now. If I'm looking at a respected program, the most important thing is what I'm looking at right now. I got to be able to respect you now. I got to be able to call you elite now. I got to be able to call you untouchable right now, this moment, today.
I totally hear you, but I don't think we should completely forget what happened.
I agree with you.
In the latter years.
100%. It's just a weight. It's a weight issue. We're talking about weight issues, not obesity, but a weight issue where we're weighting different things.
I hate that you bring that up because you know I'm starting in July, new month, new me.
I'm just telling you. And I'm not eating anything right now.
But it's starting July 5th. More. Because it can't start on my birthday or the 4th, just for the record.
I'm trying to eat more. That's my new month, new me.
You're looking skinny.
I'm feeling frail is what I feel. I feel frail and stress. I'm stressed eating my nails more than I'm eating a dinner plate. It's ridiculous. Paul from Ennery is up with us next. 654 roars the number of the Northern Communication phone lines. Hey, Paul, what's going on?
Hey, buddy, I got to agree with Willie V. He stole some of my thunder. Y'all got to realize now, Clemson has, like he said, since 77, I think they only not been bowl eligible three times, and some of them was like probation And, you know, and then the game with the fight where we didn't go where we should have went. But you got to look back. Not only this is what separates Clemson, I think, from Florida State. This is the argument I have with my Florida State friends. Clemson was a great program from 30s, 40s. They only had really one bad decade, and that was the 60s. And then you can count half of the 70s. But, you know, middle of the 70s, Clemson started getting good. And the 80s was great. We had some, like you said a while ago, or Willie V said, the 90s we wasn't great, but we wasn't, you know, wasn't mediocre. You know, we were pretty good. But you got to look back. Clemson is only one of a handful of teams who's won all major bowls. Clemson's won all major bowls except the Rose Bowl, which they hadn't got to play in. They've won the Cotton, the Sugar, the Fiesta, the Orange Bowl, and they just hadn't got to play in the. But I looked that up. There have only been certain teams that's, you know, won all four or five of them. And, you know, fortunately, Clemson don't get to play in the Rose Bowl unless it hosts a. And you got to look at it. They've played for three national championships in a stretch. Florida State's won three. I know that. They've won three national championships. But you go back to Bobby Bowden got there, what, in the mid-70s, and they still wasn't too good to the 80s. Clemson has been there for a long time. I mean, even from the 30s, you know, they had several teams in the 40s and 50s won undefeated. They played the Sugar Bowl and played LSU, who won the national championship that year, and they got beat 7-0. And that the great Billy Cannon was on that team, which that's way ahead of your time. But you got to look at Clemson's pretty elite. And I remember about 10 years ago, ESPN had Clemson in the top 15, I think, with all programs of all time. So now, in the last 10 years, I'm sure they moved up a few, you know, few spots. I just think y'all selling them a little short when it comes to history.
You know what?
I mean, what do you think about that?
You know, I would say probably so. Now, if we're going back to like the 30s and 40s, I feel kind of dirty doing that, just because this present landscape is so different from that. Like even Oklahoma. Like we'll talk about Oklahoma's success with Bud Wilkinson. How many? It's kind of like going back to John Wooden and UCLA. How many teams really could compete with the one elite force out there? There just weren't that many. This is a much different landscape in college athletics than it was even 40 or 50 years ago. Much less like 80 right. years ago.
That's the argument I have against John Wooden. You know, a lot of African Americans didn't play, you know, when he went on that stretch. Wasn't on a lot of college basketball teams, you know, back in that stretch where he went 10. He didn't really face the elite athletes like, you know, like a Coach K or maybe, you know, Bobby Knight and people like that did. I just don't think that's a good point you're making, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I just think y'all selling Clemson a little bit short, you know, because I think between Florida State, they're pretty close, both of them. I don't know who to give the edge to, but Clemson has played in three, and Florida State's won three, I know, and probably played in five at least. But just remember, they've only been good for the last about, you know, 40 years, where Clemson's been good for, you know, technically for about 60 years or more.
And I hear you, Paul. Even,
yeah, and, you know, that's just, you know, that's a good way to think about it, I guess. But I'd have to put Clemson in the – I'd have to put them now, as far as right now, they're in the elite. I mean, they're one of the elite programs in the nation right now. I mean, I went back last night and watched the South Carolina game. I needed a good laugh. Then after that, I watched the ACC championship. And they were asking questions, both of them back and forwards, Fowler and Herbstreit, and they're going, do you think this team could beat Alabama? And both of them said, this team could beat anybody when they're clicking on all cylinders. And at the end of the championship game, you know, Reese Davis even said, this is an elite program. Not a good program, but an elite program. So I just, you know, it's a good topic, though, and it's been fun listening to it. You have a good day, Quote.
Thanks very much, Paul. We appreciate it. You know, I get what he's saying about Florida State. Here's my one thing about Florida State, all right? If you want to talk about games played when I was four, that's great. I'm looking at, you know who's not coaching or playing? Anybody at either of those, right now, anybody that was coaching or playing in 1993. No, zero people in those programs from 1993.
Paul was bringing up games played when you were negative 50.
Oh, yeah.
Forget when you were four.
Look, if you weren't elite during a depression, you're not elite.
I thought we were talking strictly, you know, post-Dust Bowl, post-Gold Rush, right? Post-World War II, for crying out loud, when teams weren't traveling covered wagon or the railroad.
Oh, my gosh. When dysentery wasn't an epidemic on the rail.
Florida State wasn't good because no one could get to Tallahassee. It wasn't yet discovered. You know what I mean?
Here's my question. I ask yourself this. in the current landscape. The people who think that Florida State and Clemson being on the same plane is so outrageous, which is basically Florida State fans, ask yourself this question. With Jimbo Fisher coaching at Florida State, with Dabo Swinney coaching at Clemson, and with the players in the programs right now and the last 5 years of history, which is the modern present era, how can you say one's better than the other?
Last 5 years, yes. But take into account more than that. That's sure. What I'm saying.
Hour 3 is next.
Broadcasting from the...